You know, one of the most important things that people who are successful do that unsuccessful people often do not do is to ask for help. It's not only biblical, it's just a smart thing to do. Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, and today we're going to talk about the power of asking for help. Now, what does that mean? How do you do that? Maybe you're a person that doesn't care to do that. It's uncomfortable for you to do that. You think it's weak. One of the things we've learned in our Western culture is to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And in the process, I think sometimes we miss the powerful, beautiful, well, the intentional living of being able to share with others when we have a need and also sharing with others when they have a need. So we're going to hear those stories today. And we'd love to hear your comments on our comment line at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. You know, today's program is one of our best of from our archives because we had some powerful callers. I think that'll be very encouraging to you. In fact, I thought we could get started with Chad from Arizona. And so, Chad, let me welcome you to the program. I understand you and your wife are dealing with some money issues. Let's see if we can help you out a little bit. So go right ahead, my friend. Tell me what's going on in your life.
Well, I'll tell you that my problem is getting my angel to save money or to want to save. You know, we've been together for 8 years, and I'd hate to say she's not good with money, but she's a giver. So as much as I'd like to, my experience is saving money, and as much as I'd like to save even a little bit, just the look in her eyes when she gives it away is something that's hard to overcome.
Yeah. And so how old are you guys?
I'm 46.
Let me ask, how much do you have saved for the future?
Nothing.
So nothing for the future, and you want to save how much?
As much as possible. I mean, before we were together, and she's 10 years younger than me, I saved, in the tens of thousands, and now we're kind of week to week.
So you got together, and now the money you saved is gone.
No, not the money I saved. It was I'm a saver by heart, and just naturally. But since we've been together, we've been unable to save anything.
Hey, listen, we got some people who want to help you, Chad. I'm going to get to Mary Ellen and Valerie have already called and said, hey, I want to give some help. We'll get to your calls in a moment. I will add this. Whenever we say we've been unable to save, we're really saying we're choosing not to save. We just got to take responsibility. All people get a certain amount of money that comes in, or most people, and we either choose to save some of it or not. We choose to give some of it or not. We choose to live on the difference or we don't. It's a decision we make. And so I think the message is understanding that we approach money differently sometimes as husband and wife, but the decisions we make are our responsibility. And so, Mary Ellen, what do you think? What would you say to Chad to help him out today from Michigan? Go right ahead.
Well, hi, Dr. Randy. First of all, thank you so much for your program. I've been a listener for over 30 years.
Wow, so terrific.
What's the gentleman's name again?
Chad.
Chad. Yeah. Chad, my advice to you is I was married for almost 30 years to a wonderful man, and I'm a widow, but I am remarried now. And I learned how to save with my husband. And the key is to respect each other's gifts and to listen to each other's gifts. And I would encourage your wife to appreciate your gift of saving. I learned it, and I am both a saver and a giver. My husband and I were able to tithe for many, many years. And I was able to take care of him because he was a quadriplegic from MS, and I had to pay for a lot of care for him. And I couldn't have done any of that if we hadn't become savers. And I have money in the bank for retirement. And I'm also a very generous giver. My church calls me frequently when they need extra giving. So tell your wife, we can give more if you will trust me to save, because we can be even more generous to God's kingdom. Yeah. If you will allow us to become savers and givers.
And and the Bible teaches, Mary Ellen, that parents should be saving up for themselves and not the children taking care of the parents. We see that in Scripture. So parents, preparing for your own future is a wise thing. Now, let me ask you, your husband has passed, your first husband, but if he had not been a saver and had sort of just turned it over, whatever you want to do, what do you think would have happened?
Well, I probably wasn't just a giver. I also understood that saving was important. But I think what he taught me were certain principles to put into practice, such as with my paycheck, I automatically had things put into savings, making it difficult to touch, so that money I would just forget about. Mm. But he taught me certain principles of saving that made it easier to save. And I put those into practice. So he taught me a lot of things about how to save. And I was willing to learn. And then not be so impulsive in my giving. To listen more to the Holy Spirit and realize that you don't have to give to everyone. God will provide for people. You don't always have to be the one to provide. Other people will provide. Mm-hmm. And so I think, but a lot of it has to do with respecting your spouse and their gifts.
It does. Yeah. And not only that, Mary Ellen, but coming to some goals that you want to set out together to say, here's what we're going to do. And we have a program and then we follow it.
Exactly.
So we're not responding just emotionally. All right, Mary Ellen, thank you for your call. Let's see what Valerie wants to share with Chad. Valerie, welcome to the program from Arizona. Go ahead. What's your comment?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm a single parent, full-time single mom. So saving and having money to live on is extremely important, but I also like being able to help where I can help. So I've jumped on the bandwagon of online mobile banking. I've only been on this bandwagon for a few months now, but because I get direct deposit, it's really easy just on the morning that I get paid to immediately go into the account, stash my 10% away for my tithing, and stash 10% away for savings.
That's good.
And then as I go through my week, whatever cash tips I get, then that's what I'm able to use to give when I see somebody in need. And I kind of don't like just giving money to when I see panhandlers on the street, but I've had people come walking up to me that were hungry, and so I took them into a restaurant and bought them food, you know, being able to do things like that.
That's good. Well, so you've got a great heart, but you also have a great head, Valerie, and because you're using your head to say, I've got a plan. When I get paid, I'm going to electronically save 10%. I'm going to, for tithing, I'm going to save, you know, for the future 10%, learn to live on that other 80%. And as I hear it, your tips and so on are used for special giving and so on. So you've got a plan, which is a head thing, but it allows you, what I hear you also have is an opportunity to express your heart. You take some of the tips and you have an opportunity to use that, but you're doing it with a plan. And I think that's so important. And it sounds like it's a plan that's been working for you for the last few months.
Well, it only comes from listening to you.
Well, listen, thank you for sharing that, Valerie. But a plan is, you know, the idea of having a goal and following it is a God thing. You know, that's very clear. So we're glad to be a mouthpiece. So what are some of the goals you have for this new year?
Well, I have almost enough saved up to where I can take half of it and invest in mutual funds and get that started rolling.
Good.
Continue to save and get a better house for my daughter and I.
Good for you.
So that's my goal, and I'm thanking God for introducing me for the husband that's coming.
He hasn't showed up yet?
No, he hasn't showed up yet. So.
Well, you're praying that he will, and when he does, your heart will be prepared. That's terrific. Thank you, Valerie. I appreciate your kind words about intentional living as well.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for what you taught me.
Glad to do it. This is Intentional Living.
Hey, did you know you're part of the family? Yeah, you. That's why you're listening right now. And here's a way you can really feel the familyness. Join Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving. Just click like and instantly you'll have more than 100,000 other family members, including Dr. Randy, ready to encourage you in your intentional life. You never know. God might use you to encourage someone else. So come on in. That's Intentional Living on Facebook at facebook.com/intentionalliving.
What's one habit that will lead to financial freedom? Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Stop spending money would help, but that's not practical. And since it's not, can I encourage you to at least follow the 10-10-80 plan of intentional living? Tithing 10%, saving 10%, and learning to live on the remainder. You know, back in the Old Testament, we find God warning Joseph that Egypt would have 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph prepared. He saved up a percentage during the good years so they'd be covered during the lean years. And then it says in Genesis 41, there was famine in all the land, but in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. You know, that's a really powerful, practical illustration of planning ahead. Here's a fact. The right financial habits can change your life.
To get our daily video, sign up at theintentionallife.com/minute.
And that happens to be the Intentional Minute for today, which is available here on the radio, but also at our Facebook. Every day we post an Intentional Minute video for all of our Facebook friends. Just go to Facebook/intentionalliving or theintentionallife.com. Click on the Facebook from there. If you just joined us, this is the Intentional Living Center. We're here to help you. We're all about you, your life, and our goal is every word that we can share, every story that you can hear, every encouragement, every tip that helps you be a little more successful in your walk with Christ and in your relationships. That's how we measure success here. So let's continue on. We got Dee Dee, who left a question for us today from Arizona. Dee Dee, go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. I have a problem with depression, and I don't know how to ask anybody for help. You say pray to God to ask, and He will help. Well, I prayed, and it's like God doesn't answer my prayers at all. I don't know what to do. Depression is overtaking me. I believe in God, but I don't believe that He wants to help me.
Oh, boy. I wish I could talk to you live, Dee Dee. That was a comment left on our comment line, but if you're listening, Dee Dee, I would say this. When we talk about trusting God, praying and trusting God, that doesn't mean that we're in a cul-de-sac just going around in circles, just sitting and spinning our wheels. We trust God because ultimately we know there's a lot of things in life we have no control over. But if we're sick, we see a doctor. If we have a broken leg, we see a doctor. If we have a marriage problem, we get some help. Go to our pastor or counselor to work on our marriage. If we're discouraged, we find a friend to encourage. When we see a need, we fill it. We're not only heart people, but we're also hand people, that we're to be active and do things. And so my encouragement to you, Dee Dee, if you're listening today, that we realize that if you're depressed, that can be a clinical problem. That can be a medical problem, where there's help available. And so I would encourage you to start in the process of talking to your medical doctor, talking to a counselor, talking to your pastor, and find some people who are going to help you put a plan together. If we wake up one day and we realize that we are ill, yes, we pray and we ask God to touch our body and we ask Him to heal, but we also are willing to go see the doctor to see if God is going to use that doctor, to use that medicine as part of the process. He may or He may not. We're not God. But it becomes, non-productive. It can become negative and, frankly, at times foolish for us not to step out and ask for some help when we need it. All right. Can we go to Samantha? I think Samantha's standing by in Michigan. Who's on the line? Go right ahead, Samantha.
For the past couple days, I've been struggling. I'm a single mom.
Uh-huh.
I have a 5-year-old who has autism spectrum disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I am the definition of prideful. I was raised by a single mom. We don't ask other people to help us. We're always able to help ourselves. And about a week ago now, I noticed that on my way to therapy for my son, he goes twice a week, my front tire is were completely gone. The steel belts were showing everything, and I'm like, I didn't prepare for this. I didn't think, it's going to be almost winter time in Michigan, and my tires are going to go bad. So I'm trying to come up with solutions, and God was like, you really need to let this out. There's somebody that can help you. And I always keep everything in. So I put it on Facebook, and a couple days went by, and nothing happened. And I was like, you know what? It's okay. I kept praying about it, and praying about it, and praying about it. And a couple of my friends started looking for tires, nothing. And then this morning, I was at work, and the Spirit just spoke to me, and it said, you know, God said, give everything unto the Lord, all of your worries, doubts, and fears, because they don't serve you. And about half an hour later, I got a message, and somebody was paying the entire amount for my tires to be done.
There you go. Amen. How's that feel?
I just realized I needed to humble myself so other people can lift me when I can't lift myself.
Mm. Oh, thank you, Samantha. Maybe it's tough for you to ask for help. You know, we're a self-sufficient group here in this country, aren't we? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, but we focus on the Lone Ranger type approach to life. And for some of us, come on now, it's hard for us to ask for help. I think Bob wants to weigh in on that same topic from Michigan with a comment. So, Bob, welcome. Appreciate your call on that. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, over my entire life, I guess humbly I say God's been giving me the gift of a giver, but that also comes with not wanting to ask for help, always feeling as if, you know, I wasn't really at the bottom and I had more than somebody else. And I'm 52, so it's taken my some years to come to the realization that you will get to a point where you need to ask for help. You might be going through a trial, but God will help you at any time, but he wants you to ask for help.
Are you doing it?
Yeah, I won't say it's easy. The transition's been good because it gives you hope you didn't have even when you're an optimistic person. To let somebody help you is a true blessing. And then thinking the other side of that, of how blessed you are when you help others. If you let somebody help you, they're going to get a blessing out of that also. So you don't want to shortchange anybody else either.
Hmm, that's true. Hey, listen, appreciate that, Bob. Asking for help can be a difficult thing. One of the things about intentional living is to, if you need help, to ask for it. If you're not intentional in the process of doing that, it ain't going to happen. Because the fact is, most people just don't say, hey, can I help you, unless they sense that there's a need. But here's a truth. There are people standing in your world right now who are more than willing to help you if you ask for help. It's part of the, I think, part of the human condition that when someone asks for help, there are many people who are willing and able and capable of stepping up and helping out. Very powerful. Intentional living, what do you think about that? 888-888-1717. We're all here to help you have a great year living intentionally.
Just this weekend, my husband and I watched the Intentional Living Marriage Conference on DVD. And I married my husband 8 years ago, and he's my third husband. And we were quite shocked to find out the statistic on the survival of a third marriage. But my husband and I had made a promise to each other before we got married that divorce was not an option. And when Dr. Carlson had talked about heart, hands, and head, my husband is a hands person. I am a heart person. And we have clashed a lot in that area. And upon watching this, we figured out that my feelings were being hurt so much because he was so concerned about using his hands, about getting things done around here that he felt needed to be done to provide for his family. And I felt like he had forgotten about how to care about me. And just for that 2 days that we took watching that conference, my grandchildren had went for a visitation with their mother, and we picked them up, and we were leaving a store, and the 11-year-old granddaughter says, "What's going on with you guys? Something's different. It seems like you guys have been kind of arguing a little bit back and forth quite a bit lately, and now you guys seem like you're just so happy with each other." My husband, and being a heart person, I'm about to cry saying this, but he opened the car door for me for the first time in probably about 6 years. And those were the things that made me fall in love with him. You know, he was a gentleman, and he's a good man.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson.
Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Adam and Eve started to experience the pain of dying that we all face today. Everything having to do with dying, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, all of that. But they also, we focus on that in our messages, but sometimes we don't focus on the pain of living, because God is telling Adam and Eve, hey, listen, you're going to toil, you're going to struggle, it's going to be a tough time. And we often teach, unfortunately, that life is just like being on a merry-go-round. We'd be better off to teach our kids, hey, life can be tough.
Boy, is that true. It can be really tough. And I think if you've lived very long, you know that. The lesson this month is one that I've been really rattling around in my heart and my head for a while. It has to do with the book of Genesis. And, you know, I think we all shake our head thinking, why would Adam and Eve fall and fail and sin and walk away from God's intentional love for them? And I thought about that little nursery rhyme where it says, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put him back together again. And you know, it's kind of a picture. In a matter of minutes or hours, Adam and Eve fell in a million pieces. And we've tried everything in humanity to try to put that back together. We talk about science today and positive thinking and philosophies of life. And if that doesn't work, there's drugs and alcohol. And if that doesn't work, there's wars and religiosity and good works and all the things that we try. And it's only Jesus Christ that allows us to be able to put things back together where they belong. And this month, I do a teaching on what happened after the fall. Three things that we see in Scripture in Genesis 3. There was shame, there was blame, and there was pain. Not only do they rhyme, but they're powerful. Those three things have held us back and caused a lot of grief in humanity. And this month I teach how to overcome those. What does it mean and how to be intentional? Members, watch for it. We'd love to get it to you as a way of saying thanks for your support. Come and join us. Also, check out the cruise when you're at the website, okay? Coming up this June. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com to join us and support, to receive the resource this month, the resources for you. Plus, check out the cruise coming up this June, theintentionallife.com.
Hi, I have recently stopped smoking by the help of the Lord. I once quit for almost 2 years. I was a little stressed out, picked up the cigarette again, knew it was wrong, but did it anyway. And battled back and forth, patches, doing this, doing that, but my heart was never into it. But when I finally prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I said, make me whole. I want my body to be in line with your word and not be able to have anyone say, oh, she's a hypocrite because of. I prayed that way, and then the next morning, I kind of forgot I even smoked. It was a blessing, and God just really just took that craving, that urge, that desire, that everything away. So if he can do that for smoking, for everyone listening, who are we to say what he can't do, big, small, it doesn't matter. I mean, if he cared enough about my cravings, if he cared enough about my lungs, how much more does he care about?
Amen to that. That's great. Thank you. Let's go to Sonia in Kansas with a comment. Go right ahead, Sonia.
Yeah, I think it all started when I was a child. It seemed like I was put in a position where I was the first, and I ended up having more responsibility than a normal child, and really, my parents weren't really there at home to give me that type of guidance, so I ended up doing things a lot more.
So you became overly responsible.
Yes, and I think it hurt me because now that I'm a parent and I have a husband that's gone all the time, I'm now put in that role of having to take on more than when I need to. And then I get overwhelmed and stressed. And then I felt guilty because I'm like, wow, you know, I'm so used to doing everything. And then when I ask for help, I get, oh, well, I'm busy, da 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 da. And then it's something. And then I just let it go. And then I get upset when I why does anybody ever come to offer to help me? And then one thing that my husband tells me is, we need to move to around family, and then you'll get more help. And then I'm like, well, why don't they call? You know, do something to show that they care. You know, I don't know if this sounds weird, and I know this is an odd subject, but I just tend to be the people pleaser, and then I get upset when no one else offers. And then when I do ask, then I end up wanting to just take over and say, never mind, I'll do it myself, because you're just not going to do it right. And I don't know how to get over that. I don't know if it's a pride thing.
Oh, hey, listen, I'm chuckling with you, not at you, because I think if some of us get into that kind of a cycle where we have an expectation, we do something, then we're going to get a pat on the back. We may not feel it or say it, but you know, we're not happy if we do something to help and then we don't get acknowledgement, and then yet we feel responsible to jump in and so on. And it gets to be a cycle that can be vicious, as some people say, right? Going around and around. You're halfway there. I guess I would say to you, Sonia, that the fact that you're already around second or third base, you're aware of it, you see the pattern. And ask yourself, what one thing could you do over these next 30 days to break that pattern? In other words, break into that cycle and stop it. For instance, let's say when you see a need, instead of just jumping in and just saying, hey, I've got to do something, to back off and ask yourself the question, what's my motivation for doing this? Why am I doing this? How can I help them? Am I the only one, or am I the best one to help them? Do they even want my help? In other words, or whatever question it is that helps you stop and be very clear on the reason why you're doing it and the purpose on doing it, and what is my expectation after I've done it, and wherever the cycle is in that circle that you break in, change your thinking, change your behavior. That might be your one thing. Try it. I'd love to hear how it makes a difference for you. Okay. All right, we're thinking from intentional living today, and we've had a lot of interesting calls, starting with Chad and he and his wife not being on the same page with money. We've talked about marriage relationships, talked about personal development. Intentional living is focuses on all the areas of your life. It's not just one area. It's not just money, or it's not just your health or just your work. When we think intentionally, when we do the next right one thing, when we set a one thing for every day in our life, for the most important thing for that day, we begin the process of being intentional. Join us on Facebook. We have daily help for you there at Facebook/intentional living. Lots at our website, theintentionallife.com. All of this made possible by our members and those in support of the ministry. God bless you, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.